light summer read this is not. All we knew but couldn't say is a story of coming out, a story of abuse and survival. It is Joanne Vannicola's story, a memoir. Joanne is an Emmy award-winning actor, writer, and LGBTQ plus advocate. Montreal Pride celebrations kicked off yesterday, in case you didn't know. And tonight, Joanne is going to be reading from this book at Le Jalion. Joanne Vannicola joins us now. How do you say your name?
Thank you.
Do you say it with like a trill like that?
I don't know. I love all the accents that happen. There's the French accent. Sometimes there's a really English one. Sometimes it's just Vannicola.
Vannicola.
But you just say it Vannicola.
Vannicola. Yeah. Is there like
the Italian version? Vannicola.
Where did you grow up?
Montreal.
In Montreal. Okay.
I did, indeed.
Where do you live now?
I live in Toronto.
Because the work is in Toronto.
Sometimes the work is in Toronto.
Yeah, you never know where it's going to be, right?
Well, if there's work for people like me.
Okay, so let's...
there's a caveat.
Let's talk about that. You are a non-binary.
Correct.
You prefer the pronouns they and them.
I do.
I was thinking it must be a good feeling, first of all, to know who you are and to be able to say that, because that wasn't always the case.
No, in fact, I don't really refer to myself as they, them until this year, because it was the youth generation that created that language. And I think it's complicated and complex because it's also plural and people who are older don't like it.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult. So sometimes I just say she, because it's then I don't have to explain myself, which, you know.
How does that feel?
You know, that's okay. I think I'm okay with it because I'm very, very confident and I'm okay. It doesn't bother me so much. But I think that it would be great if the culture would just sort of get on board and learn the language and just, you know, not be so curmudgeon-y about it, because it's not that hard.
No, it's not.
It's not.
I think there needs to be less curmudgeon-ness on either side. Because we are in a period of transition, right? Like, we're all kind of trying to figure it out.
I totally agree, which is why I'm totally okay when people just refer to me as she. I'm fine with that. It's not like I've, you know, abandoned some sense of gender, but it's a political thing for me, though. So it's difficult because people really don't understand why people would refer to themselves as they, them, mm-hmm. and what that truly means.
So what, can I ask you that? What does it?
Yeah, I mean, you can. I don't know if I can answer for
you
everyone.
Answer for you.
For me. For me, I think when I think historically of sexism and misogyny, I think that, you know, in terms of the binary expression of gender being very feminine and... I've always experienced a lot of misogyny and homophobia that's kind of been hand in hand. And because I look as I look with short hair and I've never dressed in a skirt or any of those things, I've always hated it. And I was much more, I guess you would say, classically masculine in some ways. But it's not that. And mm-hmm. I'm not a man and I'm not. But so non-binary is this place of gender expression for me that's kind of neither of those things. And it fits who I am, mm-hmm. politically, personally, in every other way. I don't fit the culture in terms of the way they thought of gender, and I never have. And so it's almost like, oh, that's who I am.
So, and this having been, you said it's just been about a year that you've embraced
the language.
That, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been your whole life, but right. I mean that now that the term
right.
and now that, you know, other people are more accepting and embracing of it too. Are you finally able to sort of own it and be who you always were? That's such a weird question.
It is.
You know,
but
what I mean?
I get the question, though. I think I understand.
I'm sure you do.
That's because I'm looking right in your eyes.
Right.
No. Yeah. No, I do, and I feel like a kid going through puberty
good.
Suddenly again.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like, yeah. That's who I am. I am they them.
Well, that's what I wondered, if it's like that.
It feels a little bit like that.
How
but
fantastic,
also,
man.
But also, I feel like, you know, life is like that. And I think, like, if we're open to change and evolving and growing with whatever it is that we're learning and discovering about ourselves, we're never just one thing, I think. And I think that's, I mean, some people are. But I think that's the beauty of life, right? Is just sort of really learning about who you are in the culture and what fits you and feeling brave. And owning up to it. And also making space for young people who aren't maybe out mm-hmm. or not as brave, and they don't know that, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's okay to say you're non-binary. It's okay to be out. It's okay to be queer. It's okay to be all these things. And I'm a little bit older now, and mm-hmm. I'm like, it's okay. You know, this is who I am, and it's okay for you to be who you are.
Isn't it exciting? I mean, I personally find we're living in a very exciting time in terms of just change.
Yeah, and I think it's double-edged, right? Because mm-hmm. I feel like the more you come out and speak out and take up space and demand more in terms of human rights and change and even in the arts and culture, all of those things,
yes.
the bigger the backlash.
Yes.
And I think we've seen that in other communities, and, you know, certainly with women, certainly with Black people mm-hmm. and immigrants. And, you know, there's a whole... massive backlash that happens all the time, but we just have to keep moving forward, right? I mean, I think that's how we create change is by being brave and standing up and fighting and continuing.
I agree. Yeah. We are speaking with Joanne Vanicolat, who is an award-winning actor. The book is called All We Knew But Couldn't Say. So you grew up here in Montreal. It was an abusive household. Is that, that seems like a far too simplistic way of saying what was your childhood like, Joanne?
Yeah, I think it's not simplistic. It was certainly abusive. I mean, it had elements of love and joy and kookiness as well. Like, I think all families have a little bit of everything sometimes. But behind closed doors, we never really know what people are going mm-hmm. through. And my father was quite violent and quite cruel. And my mother was emotionally incredibly cruel. And she had no boundaries. And that sort of crossed a sexual boundary as well. And I think, like, when you grow up that way, you don't really... know what's right, or you kind of know what's right. You just don't know what's normal-ish or what's mm-hmm. loving or nurturing. And it was very, very difficult and complex.
Did you have to leave your family behind to be able to function and cope in the world?
I did. And, I saw my siblings basically left home or were thrown out or were taken. One child was taken from Children's Aid. And so that was very, very difficult because I was quite younger. I was almost 10 years younger than her. And so when she was taken, I was mortified because she was my everything, my big sister. And then sort of, it happened to the other sister. And my brother was, luckily a little bit unscathed. He went off to school and, he was treated differently in the home, because of misogyny and all of that stuff inside the home. So it's very complex.
What kind of relationship do you have with family members now?
Well, my mother's passed away, and she that's part of the book as well. And my father's quite elderly. I don't really have a relationship with him. Although because he's quite old and sick, there's things that have to get done with the elder generation, and I kind of did step up a little bit to be of help there. So that's very difficult.
You still felt compelled, like that's your role.
I didn't know that. I wouldn't call it my role because I don't think that people who are abused should feel like they have to take care of their aging parents. Mm-hmm. It's just something I chose to do because, my brother is also part of that. And my sisters are part of making decisions, but it's very difficult to deal with elderly people who are abusive and know how to forge that path. It's just difficult. I don't know if there's an answer to that.
No, I don't think. Yeah. I don't think there is. And what about your siblings?
My siblings, they're all older than I. So I was the baby, and so I was at home alone with my mother for a number of years, which was also very complex because she was a little bit dissociated and probably dealing with some mental health issues, but also quite bright and very abusive. But I love my siblings. We just have, sometimes we have our differences, but that happens.
It's a story of coming out, a story of abuse, but also a story of survival. It's called All We Knew But Couldn't Say. It is a memoir. It is Joanne Vanicolat's story. Joanne is an Emmy award-winning actor, writer, LGBTQ+ advocate. They are non-binary, which can make things interesting when working in the industry that Joanne works in. Thank you so much for sticking around. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the extra time, actually.
Well, I want to mention once again, you're going to be doing readings from the book this evening at Le Jalion, which is a bookstore up on Baudry. That's at 6:00.
Yes, between 6 and 8.
Was that timed perfectly for Montreal Pride celebrations?
I kind of did. Yeah. I kind of messed up, though, because I realized the parade was next week, and then I thought, it's okay.
Stick around. It's a good excuse to stick around and be in town.
Although I do have to go back to Toronto, but you never know. I might come back.
So we talked about you did not have an easy childhood, very difficult home life situation that you kind of had to leave behind. What was the hardest part of your story to tell?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I think the stuff about my mother, the boundaries between my mother and I mm-hmm. and those being crossed. And, my mother had sort of sexually abused my first love when I was a kid. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of difficult information there to write about. And then I think leaving home, and I left home when I was quite young. I was just 14 going on 15, and that was it.
You had to.
On my own in the world and living in an adult, industry and trying to take care of myself. It was a very, very difficult time. And then the anorexia. I was anorexic for a while. So that was hard.
How did you come out of that?
A lot of hard work. In the beginning, I was forced to, in a way, and I was forced with being told that I might be hospitalized by my mother, but I wasn't living at home at the time, so I was very angry. I'm mm-hmm. like, how can she try to even have me hospitalized? I'm not even living at home. Like, parental rights should cease, I thought, but control didn't, right? So I quickly got my act together and started shoveling in that food.
Where did you go when you were 14? Like, when you left home, where did you go?
Toronto.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not just like down the street or find an apartment. You went to another city, another province.
Right. My mother was like, there's a high school there I think you should go to. That's it.
And you're like, off we go.
Yeah. Off you go. Bye-bye. Art school. Bye.
And was that a good move ultimately? Just the distance and the...
Yes. I mean, okay. In terms of getting away from my mother, it was really, I think, an important thing because we were down a very dark path together and it might not have ended well. But I was too young to take care of myself and I just didn't really know how to. I could look like I did on the outside, which I think a lot of teenagers do because teenagers are teenagers.
Yes.
I was very tough and belligerent and I'm independent, but I didn't know a thing. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know if I should take myself.
Were you earning money?
I started to earn money within a year of my being at home because I stopped talking to my mother and then I needed to work. I had to take care of myself entirely, financially and otherwise.
In every way. Like you said, you didn't know how to cook.
I didn't know anything. When do I go to the dentist? When do I, do I get a doctor? I mean, none of those things even entered my mind. I was just trying to survive.
And when did things start to take off for you career-wise?
Quite young. I think I started working a lot when I was 16, 17, started doing some theater, did a Brad Fraser play, which eventually turned into a Brad Fraser movie mm-hmm. with Denis Arcand, Love and Human Remains. And it just sort of snowballed there in that early part of my career, like in my early 20s.
Okay. Now that, we were talking about it being a fairly new thing, using they and them, being non-binary, is it frustrating for you that I'm just thinking about the confines of the industry. Like when you go for an audition, auditions are still, male doctor, female lawyer.
Right.
Is the industry changing that way or do they still have a long... Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
No, my goodness. It's been such a long journey waiting for the industry.
You're a trailblazer in that regard.
Yeah, I think I am. And, it's definitely been really hard. I mean, I've struggled and fought with people behind closed doors. Yeah. I'm like, no, you should see people like me because, we shouldn't have to all be heterosexual and feminine and stereotypically feminine. Mm-hmm. And, but then it backfires and people don't want you to come in and they expect you to look a certain way and to wear makeup and heels and this and that. And so they just stop calling, right? So it's like, forget it.
So then what do? Do you compromise? Do you do
never.
Those roles that you don't want to do?
Never.
Really?
I have never compromised, which is why I don't work as often as, one would hope I would or should, really, because, I've been around a long time.
What a choice to have to make.
Yes, exactly. And that's the choice I made because I needed to keep my soul.
Do you ever feel like you're just a little bit ahead of your time? Like
always.
In 20 years from now, it'll be very different, I imagine.
Always. But I feel like that's why people have to step up and be brave. Without other people in generations before us being brave and challenging industry or challenging government or challenging culture, change wouldn't happen. So I don't think I'm some, perfect person or God or anything like that. I just think that I have to do my part because other women, other queer people have. And so this is my job. I look at it as a job now. It's just what I have to do.
Yeah. We're speaking with Joanne Vanicola, who is an Emmy Award-winning actor, writer, LGBTQ+ activist. Activists or advocate? What do you prefer?
Yeah, both. They're both good.
I hope you feel proud of yourself every single day. Like I genuinely hope you are aware of what you're doing and the difference you're making.
Thank you. I mean, I don't think about that. I just think about keep pushing. I don't think about myself in any glorified way at all because it's really not about me. It really is about how do we make the world a better place for the next generation? How do we stop the violence, stop rape, stop homophobia, stop racism? How do we kind of find a way to, bring people together and move forward? Because we've all had enough of the same old.
Mm-hmm. Have we ever?
Yeah, we're all sick of it. And yet we haven't quite moved the pendulum far enough yet.
No.
But
it's moving, but man, slowly, right?
In every industry, though, your industry as well, right? But yes. I mean, it's just how do we make this shift? And I think by continuing to speak about it and, you know, we'll eventually change things.
That's my thought process. My thought process is when it makes people uncomfortable and they don't know how to handle it, that's when you got to talk about it. Because hopefully in talking about it, you get a little more comfortable or you understand it a little bit
Absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. And it's why I wrote my book. I mean, it's much bigger than that, the book, but I really...
You said, what did you say to me? This, it's your story, but it's so much more than that. It's not really just about you.
It isn't about me anymore. It's about the next generation and what can I do to help the next generation and people like me of my generation who just never knew that they had a voice.
So when you see the kind of crazy, I'm trying to find a word that's appropriate to say on radio, crap. When you see the kind of crazy crap that's been going on south of the border and that we're regressing in some ways, how do you react to
that? I'm mortified. I children being, you know, taken away by ICE again yesterday in the hundreds. It horrifies me. And I think we can't go back. You know, we all have to speak out in every country, not just that America itself. We have to speak out in this country and say it's not okay.
I cannot wait to read the book, and I wish I had read it before speaking to you. Thank you so much for bringing me a copy. Literally, saying I just fell upon Joanne's story and was like, I need to talk to that person today.
I'm so grateful.
So we made it happen.
Thank you for bringing me in, because I it's great to have space to speak about it and while I'm in the city, so I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
Please come back anytime.
Thank
I'll
you.
Always make space for you.
Aw, thank you.
That is Joanne Vanicola. It is a memoir. And she's going to be reading, they are going to be reading tonight at the bookstore called Lujolène. It's on Beaudry. That's going to be happening at 6:00. I can't wait to read this book. It's called All We Knew But Couldn't Say.